3 o'clock hour, Sports Radio 610. Astros hosting the Angels for the series finale, four game set today at Daikin. Have just taken a 5-3 lead over the Angels. Still batting in the bottom of the sixth inning. They've got two on, runners at second and third with two outs. Who do we think for that latest rib? Oh, it's one Jeremy Aloysius Pena. Just blasting a ball to left field to score yet another Astro run. Very important one.
Yeah, Cam Smith coming in.
Cam Smith got on, stole Astros second base. Mauricio Dubon worked a walk. And then Jeremy Pena coming up with a big hit to give the Astros a little bit more separation. Now you got bases loaded, PC. Bases loaded, two outs, and Jose Altuve up at the dish.
Yeah, boy, they decided to intentionally walk Yordan Alvarez.
Go figure.
Yordan getting the Barry Bonds treatment again.
Like, right out of the gate. Does anybody want to tell the opposition, please don't, that Yordan Alvarez was hitting like 213 before he'd come back from injury? Like, this is a guy that never, ever got going this season for the Astros.
Hey, one for three this today with that walk, now hitting 222.
How many walks does he have since his return?
It's got to be at least six.
Six or seven, right? I don't know what he's done the last couple of days. I can't remember.
He's walked every game that he's played. He's walked every game.
Might be seven or eight walks by now for Yordan Alvarez, but you're 100% right. Like, especially in these situations, don't let him beat you. That's the mentality of the opposition. They don't want any part of him. I mean, if you're going to, like, you're the Rockies. You're the worst team in baseball. That guy, Tanner Gordon, that was the first pitcher that Yordan Alvarez faced out of the chute, right, when he returned. Didn't want any part of him. Like, if I'm a young fella and I'm going through, like, a really rough season, 7-11 ERA, and I'm going on the road to face a struggling Astros ball club, I'm going to see what I got against one of the most feared hitters in baseball when he's right. No. Didn't throw him a strike. And so he walked Yordan twice then. The next day.
It's actually eight walks now. Since
that's what I figured.
That's
his
eighth walk.
Next day, Rocky pitcher walks him twice. And it, same story in this series with the Angels. They don't want any part of Yordan Alvarez. And I just tip my cap to him and say, thank you, sir. Move along. You'll have to face Jose Altuve, a very dangerous hitter in his own right when he's on. And Altuve has been struggling a little bit here, but does have a hit and a rib already today. See if he can make the Angels pay a little bit more. We'll keep you up to date. If you are not familiar with what the hell we do on Area 45 that's in for the drive today, we'll have an H-Town postgame show for you coming up at the conclusion of the ballgame. Altuve with a ground out to third base. Stros will go into the seventh inning, leading 5-3. Right now, we're going to go retroactively back to NRG and let you hear from one D'Amico Aloysius Ryans. He likes to coach football. He likes to do it for your Houston Texans. And he answered a lot of questions earlier today because it is a game week in which the Texans will open their season in Los Angeles against the Rams on Sunday afternoon. Here is him talking about all of that fun stuff.
Do you guys have team captains yet?
We'll announce our team captains on Wednesday.
Do you expect C.J. Gardner-Johnson to be on track?
Yeah, CJ is doing really well, progressing fine. We expect him to be ready for week one.
Coach, what do you expect from this Los Angeles Rams team, especially going up against such a smart head coach like Sean McVay?
Yeah, I have the utmost respect for Sean and what he's been able to accomplish at his time there in L.A. The team is always prepared, always ready to go, no matter what year it is, who's available for him. Like, he's had turnover, but he's continued to have success. He's a Super Bowl winning head coach, played in multiple NFC championship games. So we know they're going to be ready to go. One thing about Sean, his group, they're going to be very detailed. They're going to play hard. So it's going to be a four quarter battle. And we're excited to go against these guys. Went against him a lot, and it's always been a tough challenge. He does a really good job with the motions, timing things up properly, putting defenses in conflict by all the motions and the snap points. So he does a really great job, really smart coach, really prepared. So looking forward to the challenge.
You have some other pretty good edge rushers here in Will and Daniel, but they also have some pretty good edge rushers. What have you seen from Jared Verse on film?
Yeah, this game, I think ultimately it is right now, as I continue to go through it in my mind, I think it really – hinges upon both offensive lines blocking two really talented defensive lines. The Rams have one of the best young defensive lines in the NFL, Verse, Fisk, I mean, Turner, Young. It was a young group, and those guys play, they get after it. They play relentless. They're tough. They're going to be a really, really good group for our, to challenge our offensive line, and the same for their offensive line versus our defensive line. We have a really good group up front under the strengths of our team, and we have to, you know, it's going to be a challenge to see how that shapes up, but both offensive lines are going to have to play well, and whoever wins that battle, I think, will ultimately decide the game.
Imagine you've gone up against Coach McVay quite a bit, obviously, when you were in San Francisco. He was here for a joint practice. Now Nick is your OC. What do you do with all that information you don't normally would have against an NFC opponent?
Nothing. It's all fresh. It's all new. That's the cool part about game planning and prepping. Like, for me, you have past history, but for me, I don't harp on that too much, and I don't get too bogged down on that. That's really the focus on what our guys do well, allowing them to go play fast. You can get bogged down on all the extra stuff, the window dressing, but you just got to let guys go play fast, especially first game. There are a ton of wrinkles. Their guys haven't played in the preseason at all, so it'd be the first time we see their outfit out, and we'll see, you know, how they're utilizing guys, where they're going to use Davante Adams, you know, how does Puka, what is his role, so it's a lot of unknown, especially with these guys. So, you know, I don't go in trying to figure it all out. I let our guys, you know, do the talking. I let our guys just play ball, play fast, play relentless, and let's see, you know, who comes out on top.
D'Amico, can you talk about your level of excitement as you get ready to approach this season and year three for yourself?
No, I'm fired up for the season. Like, we work tirelessly all through the offseason, where the free agency, draft, training camp, we work tirelessly to get to this moment, right? And we're here. Like, you get 17 opportunities that you're guaranteed, so how are you going to take advantage of them? One at a time. Like, how does our team take advantage of the opportunity, and how does our team grow throughout the season? That's what I'm most excited about. Every year is different. Every team is different. I'm excited to see what the 2025 Texans, how we look, how we show up on Sundays. I mean, I'm fired up. There's no better time than football time, as everybody can feel that excitement in the air from watching college football over the weekend and now getting ready for the first NFL game this Thursday. Man, football is in the air, and we're excited it's back.
Every year is new, but you also have some guys who've never done this before. What's your message for your rookies and the young guys who made a significant time on Sunday?
Yeah, Kim, the message is really simple. Like, you play football before. Don't overthink it. Like, you play football since, I always say, guy, you play football since you were like 6 years old. So just because it's now your first time in the NFL, I tell our guys, somebody has to be rookie of the year. Somebody has to go out and play well as a rookie. Someone will. Why is it not you? So get rid of all the rookie jitters, all the most, like, go play ball. Go do what you've been trained to do your entire life, and that's have fun playing football. You do that, block out all distractions, do what you've been taught to do, you'll go out and play well.
What do you remember about when you first were a coordinator, when you went from position coach to a coordinator, and how can you help Nick Caley calling his best?
Caley is ready to go. Caley's been through a ton of situations all through training camp, all through OTAs. We've been through a lot of different situations. All right, he's called a ton of plays throughout the offseason, throughout training camp, in the preseason games. He has reps on task, so he's ready to go.
Has CJ being able to call Texans at the line of scrimmage maybe changed things for the offense, or maybe made them particularly CJ?
We'll have some different variations to our offense, whether that's the mechanics at the line of scrimmage, checking plays, changing protections, whatever that looks like, whatever it entails, like, we'll be ready to go. CJ's done a great job with the protection scheme of getting guys in the right place, adjusting when he needs to adjust. Just a matter of him being able to see it the right way, see it the same as the offensive line is seeing. And as long as we have 11 guys on the same page, like, ball snap, let's go play.
Obviously, you wanted to make changes on the offensive side of the ball in the offseason. You did so. What did you see in the preseason, now that it's behind us, that says you like what you see and it's progressing, to give you confidence?
What I've liked about our offense is, and I really like just how detailed our guys are. Our guys are – they're on it when it comes from a schematic standpoint. There are not a ton of missed assignments. Guys are playing fast. Guys are playing together. And that's the main thing that I want to see, guys playing together. No hesitation, playing fast. Our brand of football is play fast, play relentless, and swarm. And that's what I want to see from the offensive side of the ball. We've seen that from the defensive side, special teams. Now the offense just plays that play that way, and think Kaylee gives us the best. He's given us the best chance to play that way.
From the Rams,
getting into the in Greenbrier, I will say that the one thing that he loves about you being his head coach is that you're constantly challenging not only him but the rest of the team. What is the challenge headed into 2025 for the team?
The challenge for us is, it's to be as best as you can possibly be. It's each individual. Like, how are you showing up on game day? Are you locked in on your assignments? Are you dominating your one-on-one? Are you dominating that daily process outside of the building when we're not doing ball? Are you taking care of all the little things the right way? And we'll see how that collectively comes together on game day. But I just challenge everybody to continue to grow, continue to get better, and continue to, you know, push yourself, strain mentally and physically to be your best. I feel like this is such a privilege, it's such a blessing to get the opportunity to play in the NFL. It's a dream for so many guys. So when you are here, you're in the building, you're on a team, how are you taking advantage of that dream? I think about all the guys who I played with in middle school, high school, who didn't get the opportunity to be where we are. So how would those guys, how would they respond if they were in your shoes? They would die for this opportunity to play in the NFL. Right? So we're here. How do we take advantage of it? How do we maximize it? And how do we just represent for the city of Houston, right, to make our fans proud of what we're doing?
From a blocking standpoint with the Rams personnel, especially Jared Verse and Brandon Fisk, what are some of the challenges of their defense with those guys in mind?
Yeah, their defense is, it starts up front with their defense line. Those guys play relentless. I scouted all those guys, really like the mindset that they bring to the football, to the football field. They're all relentless, and they're going to bring it every snap. There's no let up with their defensive line. They play tough. They play physical. So we're gonna have our work cut out for us up front, but we're ready for that challenge.
You mentioned the dream. Obviously, the dream for Damon was to make the 53, didn't make it, but to give him that phone call to make the practice squad is a big step for him. What was that phone call like, and just this moment, if he was able to kind of share the emotions of being in the league?
Yeah, Damon is very thankful for his opportunity, right, to be in the league and to get that taken away from you, right? I'm happy to be in a position to give a guy like Damon, right, who has had some mistakes in life, as we've all had mistakes in life. I'm just happy to be in a position to give someone like him another crack at it, right, to show that you can grow, you can improve, you can be better. We are all worthy of another chance, right, no matter where we are in life. And so Damon is taking advantage of that. He's here on the practice squad, has continued to work to improve, and he's fired up to be in the position he's in to hopefully somewhere along the season get out there and help us win a game.
That was Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans from earlier today at NRG, his first press conference of the week. Texans will obviously open the NFL season Sunday against the Rams at their place. 3:25 is the kickoff. Obviously, PC, the biggest news from the press conference today, D'Amico Ryans announcing that C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who suffered a really scary injury, at least that it appeared as though when the Texans were at the Greenbrier earlier in training camp, avoided an ACL tear or some sort of a L injury, and is expected to be ready for Sunday afternoon's opening kickoff against the Rams. That's huge news because, oh my God, what does this Texans defense look like when it can be fully intact? And C.J. Gardner-Johnson definitely gets the Texans the ability to do that if he's going to play on Sunday.
I feel like if Gardner-Johnson was in a position where he was going to miss multiple weeks, Jabril Preppers being out there may have been a little different look-see for the Texans. And the fact that they didn't give him a look-see tells you that. I think they're pretty confident. Mm-hmm. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's going to be ready to go week one. And look, it was really scary looking when it happened with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And he was in a lot of pain. And he was obviously very frustrated and concerned that his season might be over. Mm-hmm. By the grace of God, it wasn't. And I hope that he is able to come out. I mean, he's kind of been off the field now for about a month.
Yeah, just about, I guess. Yeah.
So I hope that he's able to go out and play at the best of his ability and not have a fear of re-injury, and not that any shot to his leg at all is automatically going to, like, you know, pop his ligaments, or you know, he's going to tear something. Like, I want him to be able to go out and play. Like, look, the dude's a badass on the field. Guy goes out and gets six picks. I mean, you got six picks playing for the Super Bowl champions last year, who basically moved on from him in a salary cap cutting move.
Mm-hmm.
You were able, because of your position, to get rid of an offensive lineman that wasn't working out for you, to take on a guy that they needed to move on from, not because of his play, but because of his dollars.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny how this whole thing worked out since you mentioned Kenyon Green.
Hey, right? He's back on the team.
So, August 7th, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has this injury with the Texans in the Greenbrier. I think it was, like, the next day, Kenyon Green has, like, or maybe it was the same day, has, like, an injured wrist, and he has to be helped off the field, right? Okay, so it's not looking good going out of camp, you know, for the Texans, and then, boom, rosters are announced. Hey, C.J. Gardner-Johnson made the 53. Can't be all bad news, right? At least he's not on a PUP list or this, that, whatever kind of list it is that's going to hold him out for the first four games of the season. No, he's on the 53 man. So good news, right? Not so good news for Kenyon Green, who got his ass cut out of Eagles camp.
But he got re-signed.
He got re-signed to the active roster.
Yeah,
to the active damn roster. He ain't no damn practice squad player. He's on the active roster for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Expect him to get zero snaps unless someone gets injured.
Right. But then you get really good news today from DeMeco Ryans. C.J. Gardner-Johnson expected to be ready for the Texans against their week one opponent, the L.A. Rams, on Sunday. 713-572-4610, 572-4610, if you'd like to be a part of the show. We are Area 45, in for the drive. We'll discuss more Texans next.